Good evening. If you would please take out your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Starting in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4, the Bible says this: devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. I love that last verse. I love that last verse. You need to conduct yourself with wisdom toward the outsiders, making the most of your opportunity. When I find somebody out in the world who isn't a saved, baptized believer like I am, I need to exercise wisdom with how I interact with that person. I need to make sure that the impression I leave upon them is a good one. I need to make sure that when I have that kind of an opportunity, I do everything in my power to make the most of it. When I think about that phrase, making the most of it, I think about a sponge, right? And when you're making the most of it, you're squeezing that sponge as tightly as you can to get everything out of it that you possibly can. Make the most of every opportunity that you have. And I think that passage is pertinent in the daily life of every Christian. We all have interactions day by day where we have an opportunity to make an impression on the lives of the lost around us. And we need to recognize those moments. We need to be wise in those moments. We need to capitalize on those moments that we have every single day. But you and I both know that that message is especially pertinent for this church family this coming week. We have an extraordinary opportunity fast approaching us. Invite a Friend Sunday is only 7 days away. And allow me to take a moment tonight to say that I so very much appreciate the wisdom of the elders here for having the desire to orchestrate an event such as this. Brothers and sisters, we have some very good elders here, some very wonderful shepherds, some shepherds who are very concerned with the souls of the lost and of the saved, who have decided to set out on this Invite a Friend Sunday event because they care about those souls and they want to do everything they can, and they want this church to do everything it can to help the lost find their way to Christ. And I'm so glad that we're having an event like this. I'm so glad that through their wisdom, all of us, every single one of us, will have an extraordinary opportunity in front of us in just 7 days. Invite a Friend Sunday. The building will be prepped, and it will be ready to receive the great number of friends that we invite. The worship here will be carefully planned so that it is accessible and so that it is excellent for all of the visitors who come into our assembly. And I've got a promise from Don that the sermon that Sunday morning is going to be carefully constructed so that it is usable, so that it is helpful to the visitors that may come into our midst. It will be, one Sunday from now, an extraordinary opportunity for this church to make an impression on those who are not in Christ. And with such an opportunity lying just 7 days ahead of us, I think it is important for us to spend a few moments talking about this, talking about making the most of this excellent opportunity that is just 7 days away from us. What can I do? What do I need to be doing right now, this week, the next 7 days, to make sure I make the most out of Invite a Friend Sunday? What can you do to make sure that this church squeezes everything out of this event that it possibly can, helping the lost find their way to Christ? And so tonight, what I want to do, I want to give you three things you can do to make the most out of Invite a Friends Sunday. And the first thing I'm going to say is pretty obvious to you. You're probably already going to guess what it is, and it is this. You need to make simple invitations. If you want to make the most out of Invite a Friend Sunday, you're going to need to do some inviting. You're going to need to make sure that you reach out to the lost people in your world, the lost people you come into contact with, and you make an invitation. This entire event rises or utterly collapses on your back. It's up to you and it's up to me. It means absolutely nothing if none of us go out and make an invitation. This event will be worthless. It will collapse. But it can be a wonderful thing, a useful and effective work in the kingdom of God, if you and I will do this simple thing and simply invite the lost that we come into contact with. You know, this really isn't a tall task, simply inviting the lost. It is not a tall task. It is not a hard task. That job of inviting the lost that we come into contact with, it is one of the easiest, it is one of the least harmful, and it is one of the least time-consuming tasks that you can perform to the benefit of the kingdom of Christ. All you must do is exactly what the invitation says. Just invite a friend. That is one of the easiest things, one of the least harmful things you can possibly do. We are not asking you to prepare an hour presentation to show somebody why they have to be baptized to be saved. We are not asking you to go to great lengths to get a megaphone in the middle of a public park telling everybody what you know about the Bible or convincing them with some kind of logical argumentation. We are not asking you to do that. All you must do, all we must do is simply make an invitation. Simply ask somebody to come here to worship and study with us. All you must do is what they did, in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, in that most famous scene of invitation that we constantly reference, all we have to do is exactly what Philip did in John chapter 1 and verse 44, where the Bible says this: Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, Come and see. That's all you have to do, brothers and sisters. That's all we need you to do. That's one of three things we needed to do. But that's all you have to do before Sunday comes, right? All you have to do is make a simple invitation. Tell somebody that you know, come and see. That's something that is so easy. And yet that is something that we tend to neglect, isn't it? It is one of the easiest parts of our job as a Christian that is most neglected by us. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be one of the things we are most prone to do. Simply ask someone to come and see. And I think it's important for me to say that especially to the college kids and especially to the high school kids tonight, this isn't you don't get a student exemption for this. This is not something that you're exempt from because you're a little young and you're not as old as some of these other people here. You don't get a student exemption for inviting your friends to come and see. You are not too young to invite your friends, and you are not unable to invite your friends. And so the task of simple invitations, that falls to you guys as well. I think it's funny that in every single stage of life, and from every perspective of life, the devil tempts us to think that inviting people to come to see is a job that is reserved for somebody else. In nearly every single stage of life, the devil's trying to get you to think that job, asking someone to come and see, is someone else's job. He tells high school students, you're too young. You're not supposed to do that yet. You let your parents do that. You let the adults do that. You let people who can drive their own cars do that. That you're too young to invite people. That's what he tells high school students. He tells FC students that you guys aren't in a good position. You go to school with a bunch of Christians, right? So who are you going to invite? You're not going to invite your classmates because they're already going to church somewhere. So there's no one you could invite, FC students. That's what he wants you to believe. He doesn't want you to think about the lady that you buy coffee from, or the person you run into in the grocery store, or the random person you strike up a conversation with when you're on the golf course or doing whatever you guys do. He wants you to think you're not in a good position to do that. He wants the USF student to think that no one's interested. People on my campus, they're just a bunch of people who are interested in sowing their wild oats and being atheists. Nobody on my campus is interested in Jesus. He wants young married people with kids to think we've got too much to do. I got this to do, and I got this to do, and I got this to do, and I got this person to be worried about, and I got that person to be worried about, and I've just got too much on my plate to worry about going out there and inviting people to come and see. That's a job for somebody else. That's what he wants you to think. He wants middle-aged people to think that their peers, the people they know, the people they work with, they're already firmly committed somewhere. The people who are 40, the people who are 50, who I go to work with, they're already firmly established in their congregation. And if I made an invitation to them, they just say they already worship somewhere else and they wouldn't come to worship with me. My invitation would mean nothing to them. So I'm not the right person to invite. And to the older people, he says, you just don't have the contacts that the younger people do. And so you can't do this work either. And on top of that, let me add this. He tells the preachers, your congregation is going to do it. He tells the congregation, the preacher is going to do it. In every stage of life, from every perspective, the devil tells us this job of inviting people to come and see is a job that is left for somebody else. And yet the truth is the exact opposite is true. That this is a job that all of us can do, and it is a job that all of us should do. It is the simplest and least painful thing you can do for the kingdom of Christ. And yet at the same time, it is absolutely one of the most important things. Salvation always starts with a simple invitation. Salvation always starts with an invitation. In Romans chapter 10, Paul makes that point. Romans 10, starting in verse 13, the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And Paul makes a very simple point in those verses. He says, if people are ever going to be saved, saved people have to go out and invite them. Saved people have to go out and make sure they know the truth about salvation. It all starts with a simple invitation. And I think sometimes that works just like an avalanche. It works just like an avalanche. You know, when you have an avalanche, I looked up the geology of this week. I didn't know this. But when you have an avalanche, you have two pieces of ice that are on top of each other on the side of a mountain. You have one piece that's much smaller than the other piece. And as this larger piece of ice sits on top of that smaller piece, there is enough friction between the two of them to keep that larger piece from sliding down the mountain. But there comes a point when enough weight has been added to that larger piece. There comes a point where there is a trigger moment. There is a trigger point where just enough weight has been added, or there comes a vibration, or there becomes some kind of disturbance on that top piece of ice to the point where it is just enough pressure, just enough force, where all that snow goes sliding down the mountain. And it may be, brothers and sisters, that the people that you run into on a daily basis, it may be that they are on the verge of a trigger point in their life. It may be that there are people who are full of questions, people who are searching, people who want more, people who want to serve God, people who want to know that their life has a purpose, and they're not getting it with what they're doing right now. And all they need is a simple invitation from you to get the ball rolling. Your invitation this week could be a trigger point for a lost soul that changes their lives forever. And that's what we need in the days leading up to Invite a Friend Sunday. That's what we need from you. We don't need massive earth-shaking forces. All we need is for you, all of you, including me, to be willing to go out into our world and add a little weight, to make a little vibration, to cause a little disturbance in the lives of the lost that we encounter. And see what comes sliding down the mountain on Sunday. We need to make the most of this opportunity that's before us. And if we're going to do that, we need to get out there and invite people to come and see. We need to make sure we're doing those simple invitations. And so here's a really, really, really basic, practical application point. There is a whole pile of invite a friend cards out in the lobby, and I want you to make Corey and Heather have to print more. Can you do that? Say amen if you agree. Get some cards. Now, don't grab 100 and put 75 of them on your kitchen counter and never pass them out, okay? Grab some cards and get rid of them. Give them to a lost person this week. Make Corey and Heather print more so we have more to hand out when we get here on Wednesday. Make the most of your opportunity. And we do that by making simple invitations. And let me say this secondly, that this is going to start with an invitation, but if I'm going to make the most of this opportunity on next Sunday, that's not where it's going to end. If we're going to make the most of that opportunity, we're going to need to add this to it. We're going to need to add a warm reception. Now, of all those thousands of invite a friend cards that you guys are going to pass out, not every single one of those is going to turn into a visitor. Not even most of those are going to turn into a visitor. But some of them are going to turn into a visitor. Somebody who is actually going to walk through the doors who wouldn't have otherwise come. And when that person walks through those doors and they come here and they are in our midst, we need to make sure that we are ready to receive them in a warm and inviting way. There's a passage in James that I think helps us see what we ought to do when we have a visitor in our midst. A passage in James chapter 2. And the funny thing about this passage in James chapter 2 is it's actually about showing partiality. It's actually about treating some people better than other people and how you better never treat one person better than another person just based on what they're wearing or how they look. But in this passage, it also kind of shows us, it gives us some clues about how a visitor to our assembly really ought to be treated by us. James chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says this: "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there or sit by my footstool,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives?" I think you can easily, in verse 3, I think you can easily see a couple of things that we need to do, a couple of things we need to do when we have a visitor come and join our assembly. He says you need to make sure that you pay special attention to them. You need to make sure that you hone in on them, that you're aware that they're there, and that they know you're paying attention to them, that they know you care that they're there. And James also says something that I think a lot of people in a lot of churches across the country wouldn't be happy with. Maybe you need to give them your seat. Not everybody's happy about that. But basically what James is saying is he's saying when we have visitors in our assembly, we need to make sure that we make them feel a warm reception. Maybe even do something scarier than giving them your seat. Maybe invite them to sit with you. If we're going to make the most out of our Invite a Friend Sunday, we're going to need to go out of our way to give our visitors as warm a reception as we possibly can. And allow me to say this, as somebody who has been recently received by all of you, I may confidently say that regarding this matter of warmly receiving a person, you guys have no need that someone instruct you. You have no need for someone to teach you concerning this. Like Paul told the Thessalonians, you guys know what you're doing. You guys know what you're doing. You have no need that I write to you about this. But also, like Paul told the Thessalonians, excel still more. I know from personal experience that this place receives those people that it doesn't know very warmly. But I think next Sunday when our visitors come in, we can still excel still more in receiving them in the warmest way we possibly can. And there are a couple things I thought about this week. There are a couple quick tips to help us excel still more when those visitors come into our assembly. And the first thing I'd like to say is this. If you want to warmly receive these visitors, how about this? How about before you come into the assembly, before we get here next Sunday on Invite a Friend Sunday, how about you pray about that? How about you pray for Invite a Friend Sunday every single day before it gets here? Pray all 7 days that this event will go well, that the visitors will come, and that when the visitors do come, God will make sure that they feel welcome, that they feel received warmly by us. If you want to make the most of it, why don't you pray about it? Pray that they will feel warmly received. And how about this as well? Show up 5 minutes earlier. Show up 5 minutes earlier than you normally do. And I say 5 minutes because 5 minutes is such a short period of time. It is infinitesimal a period of time. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. What are you missing by coming here 5 minutes earlier than you normally do? You ain't missing nothing. That 5 minutes gives you a chance. Gives you a chance to have 5 extra minutes to talk to somebody, to make someone feel warmly received. It gives you 5 extra minutes to be here, to be ready to receive them when they come through those doors. Get here 5 minutes earlier than you normally do. That is not 5 minutes before the clock says we're starting. 5 minutes earlier than you normally do. And how about this? Greet those who are unknown. Talk to the people who walk through the door that you don't know. And of course, the disclaimer with that is, we got 500 people here, right? We're going to have more on Sunday morning. If someone comes up to you and you're a member here and they introduce themselves, don't be offended, right? Like, I have a reprieve for that because I've only been here for a month, but you feel bad about that. You've been here 5 years. You only know half the people. Okay, don't be offended if someone introduces themselves, but make sure that you talk to the people that you don't know. Make sure you greet them. Make sure you ask them where they're coming from. Make sure you make them feel warmly welcomed. And there are some people here who have a little bit more social anxiety than others of us here. There are some people here who think about walking up to somebody they don't know and they're shaking in their boots. And they just think, I can't do that. That's the most terrifying thing in the world. How in the world am I going to go up to somebody I don't know and I'm going to talk to them? That's the scariest thing I've ever done. And I got to tell you, if that's you, if you have a little social anxiety, you got a little more than me, don't use that as an excuse. If you have a little social anxiety, how about this? How about you plan ahead? How about before you get here, you think through exactly what you're going to say to somebody that you don't know when you meet them? And that does not mean you have to have a 20-minute conversation about where they're from and how you know things in the city where they're from. That does not mean that. All you have to do is plan. All you have to do is think about 3 sentences. Hi, where are you from? Glad to have you with us today. Think about what you're going to say before. And you'll be ready to warmly greet a visitor. And let me say this fourthly. If we're going to warmly receive those who visit with us, make sure you practice the golden rule. When you walk through these doors and you get ready to receive these visitors that are going to come to us, you just have to ask yourself a simple question. If I were in their shoes, if I were going to a church where I knew nobody, how would I want them to act that would make me want to come back? Practice the golden rule. How would I want to be treated if I showed up in a place like this? And then act in the way you would want to be treated. Now, I'm very aware that we have designated greeters at this church, and I'm very glad that we have people who every single Sunday and every single Wednesday are set aside for that task of greeting our visitors when they come in through the door. And I got to tell you what, I'm not asking you to warmly receive everybody every single Sunday. All I'm asking you, all the elders here are asking you, is that this Sunday you make a special effort. You make it your heartbeat that you're going to talk to visitors. Make them feel warmly received. That's how we're going to make the most That's how we're going to make the most out of this opportunity. And there's one more thing I'd like to point out. If we're going to make the most of our opportunity next Sunday, it's going to take extended attention. It's going to take extended attention. This next Sunday could be, for many visitors, not just something they did once in 2019. It could be the start of something new for them. And that is the whole point. That's exactly what we're doing here. We're not having Invite a Friend Sunday so that a bunch of people from the community can come here and enjoy a great event and then go home and act like nothing happened. That's not why we're doing this. We are doing this to get visitors in our building, hoping that they will be attracted to this, that they will want to latch onto this, and they will stay with us and become part of our family here. That's what God always intended for the local church to be. Not just a neat event, but a family to which fellow believers could latch onto and stay with. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible tells us, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico, but none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. That's the goal. That's what Invite a Friend Sunday is about. It's about getting the lost people in the world to be added to the number of this family. Not because we're interested in having a higher attendance number, but because we're interested in helping lost souls get to heaven. And that's what this family is all about. And if that's going to happen, if we're going to help these people become a part of our family here, become baptized believers who are part of the family of Christ, we need to make sure that after Invite a Friend Sunday, we offer our visitors continual attention, continual investment from the people who are here. Paul spoke to that need. Paul spoke to the need for continued investment in lost souls. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he would say this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 5, Paul wrote, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his labors." Now Paul's main point in those verses is that it doesn't make any sense for a preacher to get puffed up, right? It doesn't make any sense for a preacher to get arrogant about how many people he's baptized or how many people he's led to how many lost people he's led to Christ. But I think in there he also makes a point that we can see that lost souls need extended attention. They need continual investment from us. When Paul talks about the Corinthians, he said, look, I planted the seed. I started the work. But guess what happened after he planted it? They needed something more than that. It wasn't good enough that Paul just planted. They needed someone to come along and water them. And that's what Apollos did. You see, Paul didn't just help this person out. He didn't just bring them to the lost, plant it, and then leave them alone. I planted, Apollos watered, and God caused the increased. And I think that's how we have to look at our visitors. I think next Sunday, every single visitor we walk through that door, every single visitor that we see, we need to look at as a little seed. We need to look at them as a little seed that we need to nurture, that we need to help grow, that we need to protect, that we need to invest in. And that means when I find those visitors who come into our assembly next Sunday, that means when Sunday is coming to a close, that means I need to make a second invitation. That means that I don't just let them walk out the door and say, well, I hope that was good enough for them. That means when they're walking out the door, I grab them and I say, hey, we'd love for you to come worship with us on Wednesday. Hey, we've got some great Bible classes going on. Hey, let's sit down and have a Bible study. Or, hey, let me grab Carrie and he'll sit down and have a Bible study with you. Do something. Make some kind of second invitation to get them to come back. Do something to water that little seed. That means I need to make some time. Clear some time in my schedule for this lost person. Make some time. Go out to coffee with them. Go out to lunch with them. Make sure that they know I have time for them to help them grow. I'm not too busy to be there for them and to encourage them in their spiritual journey. That means I need to put on an apron. I need to do whatever I can, to serve them, to water that little seed. And help it become what it needs to be. Help it survive and thrive. Perhaps the greatest known passage about invitations, about visitors, is, as we referenced before, is John chapter 1. And I think that passage has so many important things to say to us about how we treat visitors and about how we make invitations. But I love what Jesus says. In John 1 and verse 50, Philip has brought Nathanael to him. Nathanael's a little bit skeptical about this Jesus guy. He's not sure if he believes anything good can come out of Nazareth. And when Nathanael finally gets to Jesus, well, he greets him warmly, right? What's he say to Nathanael? Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit, right? That's a warm reception. Then when Nathanael says that he believes that he's the Christ, the Son of God, what does Jesus say? What's Jesus say in John 1 and verse 50? He says, Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And I think when it comes to those visitors who end up in our assembly next Sunday, I think that needs to be our attitude toward them going forward. That my goal is to show them greater things than these. Next Sunday, when they're in our assembly, they'll see worship. But for the rest of the year, let's go out of our way to show them greater things than these. Let's show them that we're not a people who just worship on Sunday. We're a people whose hearts are full of praise and thanksgiving the other 6 days of the week. When those people come into our assembly, they're going to be received warmly by us. But the rest of the year, we need to show them greater things than these. Let's show them that we don't just receive people into our church building warmly, but we're willing to show them a heart of true hospitality, a heart that is willing to go out with them, a heart that is willing to study with them, a heart that is willing to invite them not only to our church building, but into our homes and into our lives to help them grow. They will see on Sunday when they're here that we'll give them a moment of our time when we shake hands with them and we say we're glad they showed up. But beyond that, we need to show them greater things than these. We need to show them that we are willing to provide whatever they need to whatever degree to help them become a child of God and continue walking with Him for the rest of their life. If you want to make next Sunday, if you want to make the most of that wonderful opportunity, you and me both need to recognize that our opportunity does not end once Rich Leggett locks up the building next Sunday evening. We need to realize that we can give our visitors attention and investment far beyond Invite a Friend Sunday. And if we do that, if we really strive to do that, we will make the most of our opportunity. There is another passage in your Bible that talks about making the most of something. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes to us about making the most of something. Ephesians 5 and verse 15, he says this, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And it may be that there's something you need to do tonight to make the most of your time, that you have this opportunity right now, and you don't need to wait for 7 days to do something right. You need to do something right now, and you have this moment. You have this moment to make your life right with God. And Paul would urge you to make the most of that opportunity too. You have a moment right now. If you are wandering and far from God, you have left the faith behind, you have some sin in your life that you need to get out, Paul would urge you to make the most of this opportunity. Not 7 days from now, but right now, to come to the front and get the prayers and the help of the saints who are here. Or maybe you have never been baptized and had your sins washed away to become a child of God and have the hope of salvation. Paul would urge you, don't wait 7 days to do that. Make the most of the time you have right now. Come to the front. We can help you do that while we stand and while we sing.